Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study the theme, education. Lesson 12, Sabbath. Experiencing and living the character of God. Our memory text. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. Time to be astonished. God creates heavens and earth. And after 6 days, everything is ready. On the sixth day, Adam is created, and out of his body, the breast, Eve is constructed, a beautiful woman. So that Adam has his delight just in looking at her, how beautiful she is. And what do we read then? What comes next? Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Blessed it and sanctified it. Because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So the first day together as a couple, Adam and Eve, they have a time of rest. Time to be astonished. They walk around in the Garden of Eden. Ooh, ah, wow. Ah, that's their home. Great. First day, a day of rest. Sabbath day. Blessed and sanctified. What a blessing. Now, it's interesting to note our signs of time are according to elements in the universe. Our Earth revolves in 24 hours once around, day and night. Therefore, it's because of this revolvement. Then a month, where does it come from? The moon takes about a month to encircle our planet. Month, moon. A year. This is the time the Earth revolves around the sun. Exactly 365 days and a quarter of a day. And it's for the millionth part of a second on the same time it will arrive again on the same spot in the universe. And the week? Where does the week come from? Earth? Moon? Sun? No. Its origin is in the Bible. It's God. He divided the month in four sections. Every seventh day. Ah, that's interesting. It comes from God. This structure, this time structure, is made by God because it's best for our recreation. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. That's it. Time for rediscovery. When the Israelites were led by Moses and the cloud out of Egypt, out of slavery, they came into the desert. And the desert is not a Garden of Eden. For the first days, they had food, which they had taken from Egypt. And after some days, this food had been eaten. It was simply gone. Now it was in the stomach and so on. What to eat then? Difficult. We are in the desert. There are not harvest fields and fruit trees, but sand and rocks and stones. Brown, 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 no green around. Now what to eat? And then I found it there in the morning outside the camp. And I asked, what's this? In Hebrew it's called manhu. What's this? In German we say something similar. Nanu. What's this? And out of manhu came manna, and they could collect it, eat it, and it had all the proteins and minerals and vitamins and so on. Whatever you need, it was in it. And they got strong. And they could collect it every morning. When you were lazy and you waited, and the sun began to shine hot, then it melted and it was gone. Away. Not there anymore. Gone. It had melted like snow in the sun. So you had to get up early to get it. Now someone thought, well, I will collect twice as much as usual, so tomorrow morning I don't have to go out. I eat what I've collected today. Next morning, his hand in the jug. Worms in it. Oh no! So they went out daily, daily, each morning. Morning by morning. And then I got a new command on Friday. The day preparing for Sabbath, they should collect the double amount. But someone said, I've already done so, it doesn't work. Next day, worms in it. We must go there on Sabbath too. And God said, you collect the double amount on Friday. And there will be no worms on Sabbath. If you go out on Sabbath, you won't find anything. And really, some went out to collect. Nothing there. On Sabbath, no manna. Manu, what's this? And the double amount of Friday on Sabbath, no worms. That's great, isn't it? So, because of this manna, which was there, but not on Sabbath, and you could collect double amount on Fridays, not being warm with worms, they got into this rhythm. 6 days of work, 1 day rest. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. So God arranged it with collecting this food, manna, that they got into this rhythm of 6 days work and Sabbath day. 6 days work and Sabbath day. Because in the more than 400 years in Egypt, when they had been slaves, this had gone away, this rhythm. And now they relearned it. And it was a blessing for them. When they came into Canaan, it had already been instructed in their mind. It was there. Because week by week, it became an inner circle, week by week. Manna introduced the Sabbath. They had something to eat, and the Sabbath was introduced. Time for learning priorities. In Isaiah 58, we read that the people murmur against God. They say, "We fast, you do not see it, you do not care for us." And they say in verse 3, "Wherefore have we fasted," say they, "and you seize it not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and you take no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors." Verse 5, "Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen?" And now this is something else. Fasting doesn't always mean eating no food. Listen what's written here. "Loose the bands of wickedness. Undo the heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free. Break every yoke." "Deal your bread to the hungry. Bring the poor that are cast out to your house. When you see the naked, you cover him. Do not hide yourself from your own flesh." Then, verse 8, "then, if this happened, then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward." "Then you shall call, and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, 'Here am.'" "If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity." And then, verse 13, and it's important. "If you turn away your food from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the light of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shall you delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. If you call the Sabbath a delight, if you call the holy of the Lord honorable." And here we see an important attitude. When we love God, we love to do His will, then it's a pleasure for us. If we do not love Him, then we say, okay, I must do this. But you, when you love God, you want to pleasure Him. And then it's easy. That's the secret. Time for finding balance. In Matthew chapter 12, we read, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the cornfield. They're on their way to the synagogue, they pass by a cornfield, and they hadn't had breakfast yet. And His disciples were hungry. Now what to do? They began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. So it was allowed in old Israel, if you are hungry and you see food on a field, you are allowed to take as much you need so that you are not hungry anymore. You were not allowed to take in the harvest of the neighbor's field, of course not. But you could eat to feed, to fill your stomach, so that you do not have to die. No one had to die. They could use what they could find in the fields. And this was not stealing. This was allowed and accepted. But when the Pharisees saw it, now they are in trouble. They said unto Him, behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Now, haven't you told them? Why have you allowed this? I thought you were a prophet, and so, dab. And then Jesus explains, what is a Sabbath day? They had about 40 verbs for working, what you could do, whatever work. They used all these words, put them on the Sabbath and said, this, 40 verbs, it is not allowed to do it on the Sabbath day. So whenever you moved your hand, your fingers, you had to think, am I allowed? Am I not allowed? May I? May I not? Is it allowed to move the chair or not? So it was a horror. A day of rest where you can just have time for recreation, for community, finding your balance again, and just recover. You have to think, may I? May I not? Is it allowed? Is it not allowed? Strict rules. And then Jesus said, when one among you comes into the following situation, his sheep falls into a pit. Now what to do now? How would you react? Yeah, of course they help the sheep out of the pit. And then Jesus says in verse 12, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And there was a man in the synagogue with a crippled hand, and Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. And he did so. It was restored whole, like his other hand. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy Jesus. He had healed somebody, and they held a council how they could destroy him. Do you see the point? They were crazy. Crazy in their heads. A time for community. When the Apostle Paul was on his mission journeys, he had the following strategy. When he came to a new city, we hadn't been before, he looked for the synagogue. And on Sabbath day, he went in, and the Jews there were delighted to the stranger from far above. A Jew from another country, foreign country, had come to visit them, and they asked him, because he was a high educated person, could he address and a sermon, and so on. Yeah, Paul liked to do so, and then he talked about messianic verses, texts in which the Messiah, who would come in future, how this would be. And when he got through the texts, then the boom exploded. And then he said, the Messiah has already come. What? He has already come? But this will be in future, isn't it? He has already come. Now, yeah, where, when, what, how, and what is it now? Our leaders in Jerusalem have killed him. They gave him to the Romans that he is crucified. No. And then Paul showed that even this was prophesied. Isaiah 53. He is like a sheep, doesn't open his mouth, and he is killed for our sins, that we are free. And they were interested, very much interested. The Messiah had already been around, but I hadn't found out that he is the Messiah. How can it be? He healed people. He made blind people to see, dumb people to hear, lame people go. All the signs which are prophesied, and he did it. So what's the problem? Well, why did they murder him then? Envy. Ah, envy. Envy leads to hatred. And hatred leads to murder. So when he explained it to them, they discovered, wow, now what should we do now? And some in the synagogue were fascinated about the sermon. Others didn't like it at all. It was something new, and they hated new tidings. The next Sabbath, this is interesting to read. The next Sabbath, 44, verse 44 in Acts 13. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. There were only a few Jews and a lot of Greek people. And now, from one week to the other, this speech of Paul, this sermon of Paul, it crossed all the town. They wanted to hear this foreigner. They wanted to listen. What's going on? A Messiah? He had already come, but had been killed? Oh, these were news. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, then I would think that he would, can we go on reading? They were delighted, happy. Never before had they seen so many people at their synagogues. They had not seats for them. They had to make an open-air meeting outside, because inside, no chance. Much too much. Too many people. But what is written here? But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Envy? Envy? Yes, envy. Against Paul. And they spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And then he went to the heathen people, and these were delighted. Summary. Let's have a look at this piece of art drawn by the Austrian artist Maximilian Jantscha. I like this painting so much. It shows an atmosphere of rest. Nature, creation, the sun there, peaceful sheep feeding on grass, the shepherd taking care of a weak lamb. Isn't that great? When you look at this painting, you get an atmosphere of Sabbath feeling. Peace, rest, enjoying God's nature. It's simply great. And it is what God wants to have for us, a day of rest, not a day with a list of commandments where you have to think, oh, is it allowed, is it allowed, is it not allowed, is it allowed, is it not allowed, like a corona list, what to have to do, what is not allowed, what is allowed, and in the end you don't even know, is this allowed, is it not allowed? Is it a trespass? Is it not? This is not something which can be a delight. But God's intention with the Sabbath day, that you have a day of restoration, recovery, community, finding your balance, setting right the priorities, just filling up your accumulator. It's like sleep in the night. One could say this is a time for nothing. Nothing happens. Oh no. You load up energy. And the same it is with the Sabbath day. Energy is refilled for the next week because of delights. Delighting in God's glory, in His nature, in His creation, looking at His creatures He made, looking at the plants, at the fruits, everything that is there for food in nature, can just walk around. I remember my uncle, a farmer, he liked to walk around his fields on such a day, looking for the corn, how it grew, for the grass. And he walked around his fields and was happy, watching how God worked in nature. And then he came back with a smile on his face. You could see Everything is in order. Everything is okay. He has worked, and on Sabbath, he can see what the work has produced, how God blessed it and sanctified everything. Let's look at our Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. I help you when the wolf comes for attack. I will be there. I sacrifice my life for you when the wolf attacks. I am the Good Shepherd. Rest in me. That's our Lord.